Lord Jesus Christ, that's what we are aiming to do tonight. And tomorrow, we aim to teach you the application of the Lord Jesus. So tonight, if I convince you, you can see the importance of Lord Jesus and resurrect with your focus on that to the effort of the Lord Jesus. We are not here to sign the motion. Just want to teach you what the truth is. So, in your text, first one, what we should do.
How do you know it's working?
It's going back.
First Corinthians 2:2. For I resolve to know nothing. I'm reading Amplified. For I resolve to know nothing. Everybody say nothing.
Nothing.
If you sleep, I'll come here and wake you up. I resolve to know what?
Nothing.
To be acquainted with nothing. To be acquainted with nothing. To make a display of the knowledge of nothing and to be conscious of nothing. Because he's acquainted with knowledge. He was a theologian. And so when you talk of knowledge, he's had it. So he has had it. I mean, he couldn't bring any knowledge in his time that Paul wasn't really familiar with. He was a scholar. And the talk of Christian circles, when he got saved, Paul had abundance of revelation. So when you talk of Christianity, he was fast, more than his peers in the knowledge of Christianity. And here that's this kind of thing. I want to show you the kind of thing that Paul was. He was talking to Festus, he was talking to the king. You remember when the scripture says, he said, I will show you how great things you suffer, and I will take my name to palaces and things. He did, he went there. But he didn't ride in the limousine. He went there through persecution. Now he was talking to these kings, Festus, and all of a sudden, Festus shouted, Paul went saying, too much study has made you great. This man said, maybe you have too much knowledge. You know too much. So when Paul makes this kind of statement, it's not a statement of I need to. Somebody who doesn't know what he's talking about. It's a statement from an educated, a well-informed human being. And he has knowledge about the Christian faith, Philippians 3:5. When he talk about the law and the Moses, the law of Moses, he was a Pharisee, he was an educated Pharisee. Man, he knew the law so very well. So when he made the choice to say, this is one knowledge I want to associate myself with, he's so well informed. Look at what the scripture says about him in Philippians 3:5. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew. So when you talk of being a Jew, I am core Hebrew. If there ever was one, I was a member of the Pharisees, tutored in the law, who demand a strict obedience to the Jewish law. See, I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church, and for as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without. For this man knew the laws of Moses. Why didn't they tell the church, when I come, I teach the laws so you stop sinning? He had the right of knowledge he could display there. But he said, I don't want to know anything else. No, I don't want to be associated with anything. I don't want, when I come to you, that is amazing. He said, I don't, he said, they say, my determined response is my action that I made a conscious determination to do. It's something that I resolve. It's not something I'm telling you lightly. I sat down, I thought this, I made a determination, I resolved it, I decided it, that if I come, I am going to resist anybody who's bringing any knowledge to me, and I'm not going to talk about any other thing. This is serious statement. But you know, he says something about his knowledge of the law and the knowledge of God, his theological things. He wrote the Corinthians, he said, the wisdom of man comes to what? Was it the Corinthians he wrote? He said, the wisdom of man, so all that my theology comes to nothing, is not too useful. And then he says something again. He said, all this law I know, all this study in theology, all these laws of Moses that I'm very, very grounded in. Philippians 3:7. He made a statement about it. He said, I won't stop these things from happening. Somebody said, Hallelujah, praise the Lord. He said, I won't stop these things from what? Valid. But now I consider them worthless. Because of what Christ has done, yes, I'm reading Philippians 3:7. And now I say, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. He said, I have had knowledge. I know the law. I understand that. I was zealous about it. But I discovered something that nothing compares with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. He said, babe, I found this thing. Have you found it? Babe? Have you found it, Christian? I will tell you something. The devil, you know, I don't talk about the devil, but I'll talk about it. The devil has a very major goal. If he can stop you from knowing Jesus, he has destroyed you. If he can stop you from knowing the truth, he will keep you in ignorance. And the Bible says, my people are destroyed for what? If he can, and that's why he fights many Christians. I want to challenge you today. You're not going to find this in the comfort of Bible stories. Check it. You keep on telling your life, check your life. You're not going to find this to go to anywhere the truth is going to be taught. Check your life and see what I'm telling you. You're not going to find this to study your Bible. Once you open your Bible, start studying. Complete the rest. You see this program you have? He knows what is going to be taught here. The Lord told me, he said, what was it? He said, he's going to receive a lot of it those days. Because he wants the Christian in ignorance. Because once you are in ignorance, you are vulnerable to him. He will deceive you and you. I was reading the papers, I was reading the news today. There's a church, they call it online church. They were selling water. They say heals all manner of diseases. And they have sold millions of bottles. Until recently, they found out they were selling chlorine. In the news today. But people were buying from all over the world. They were shipping cattle. It killed a woman here. That's how they found out. So the people, newsmen went and took a sample and took it to the lab. They poured it on Jesus. He blessed it. But millions, brethren, millions of people all over the world have been drinking. They showed autistic children, families. When we say, wow, but this happened among Christians. This happened among Christians. Jumping from fire to pillar to pillar, pillar to pillar, pillar to pillar, pillar to pillar. It's a bully. It's happening among Christians. Some of you sitting here looking at it. If he will stop you from knowing Christ Jesus, and he's doing it effectively in many churches, many groups, out there, it's been for many years. For many years. For many years. Nobody taught me about Jesus. Nobody. I was sharing yesterday the Bible studies, how to deal with my life. I was in Canada to see something, and this sister said to me, he pointed to the one cause, he said, you took me to where he took away my faith in Christ, and you knew my life. He said, Uncle came and God and Father. He said, before, see, and what did Jesus say about himself? In Luke chapter 10:41. And Jesus answered and said, And said to unto her, Martha, Martha. That's the way I like to call it. Martha, Martha. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. About what?
Many
things. Check your life. Put it against the word of God. The Bible says the word of God is a mirror. Watch, look into it and see if you are not troubled about many things. Against the word of God. Check it now. You are troubled about many things. You are careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. Everybody say one thing is needful.
One thing
is needful. And many have chosen that good path which shall not be taken away from them. Now you say, Pastor, what's the connection between this and knowing Jesus Christ? A lot. Because what Jesus was telling Martha is that what Mary choose? What did Mary choose? Now let me ask you, what were they talking about? How to cook food? The laws of Moses? What do you want to do? What word of God? Kingdom of God. Jesus was teaching him about himself. Mostly what Jesus did was talk about it. Because he knew that when people know him, they will get eternal life. He had not understood. Everywhere you see Jesus, he was introducing himself. Because the key thing was for people to know him. He was everywhere. He said, I'm the light. And I am God. I read your Bible. He was always telling people who he said, this is God, so you believe in me. So the goal was for people to believe. So when he sat with Mary, he was telling Mary who he was. He was educating Mary about himself. And let me show you a conversation he had with Martha. Martha. John 11:33. That will give you an idea what I'm talking. John 11:33. Jesus said unto her, that's one, that brother shall rise again, fruitful. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. 25. Jesus began again to teach her. Jesus said unto her, I am the what? You see what I'm telling you? He's always talking, introducing himself. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Martha, do you believe this? Have you learned this truth about me? She said unto him, listen to what Martha said. So that you know that he teaches them about himself. She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, who should come into the world. And you know, Peter specified about Jesus Christ and his teaching. I want to convince you that Jesus was teaching about himself, mostly. You know, when Jesus preached, this sermon he preached, and he lost 17 members of his church. I don't know any pastor who will lose 17 members who will stay behind. He lost 17. He didn't go to them and say, please come back, let's consider this. Why are you leaving me? He went to the remaining members of the church and asked them, do you want to what? Please, you can go. I like that kind of pastor. I don't like pastors who are back begging people, just for sitting there. You don't have to beg people. You don't have to. Preach the truth and stand on it. The Bible says that children of wisdom will come from. Those who are not children of wisdom, they will walk. So he preached this sermon and they left. So he thought to the disciples, said, are you leaving too? And Peter said something profound. He said, why shall we? Brother, isn't it surprising? Two sets of people in the same church. Then people left. They said, we don't like this sermon. The other people say, well, this is what we want. It's always happening in church. And so Peter said, where else shall we go? You have the word of what? Eternal life. What you are teaching is about the thing that produces eternal life. It's about you. Let me read it to you. Then someone, Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the word of eternal life. I will believe and assure that thou art the Christ. The Son of the Living God. Is it not what Martha said? That is Christ, the Son of the Living God. Because that's what he kept telling. I'm the one that was here. The Spirit of the Lord is what? Upon me. Because he has sent. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are you sleeping?
No.
If you are awake, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you are sleeping, say amen to that. And did you think that Jesus would sit Mary down and teach him the laws of wisdom? You know what? He came to shut the law down. He came to do what? Shut the law. He came to abolish it. He couldn't be teaching them what he came to abolish because he was the new way to God. He was the one that brought peace. He was the new way to God. The Bible said, nobody coming to my Father except me. So he came to shut the law down. He says in the Bible, Ephesians 2:15. Can we read King James Version? Then we read another version. Those of you who love King James, so you don't think I changed the words. King James Version. Having abolished in his flesh the iniquity, even the what? Read it here. Having abolished. What is abolished? Come on, what's abolished? It's abolished. Having what? Abolished in his flesh. That is in his body. The iniquity, even the law of commandments contained where? In all places. For to make himself of 12 one human, so make it. He said, by his death on the cross, he took away the law. He became the source of God. Whosoever believeth in him is now saved and become the child of God. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
So he abolished the law. So there was no way he could be talking to them about the laws of Moses. He was talking to them about himself. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, I want to show you something. There's this scripture that people use all the time. They always use it to relate the knowledge of Christ to the background and bring the teaching of Moses to the forefront. If somebody has called me and asked me this, it's out of his country. He said, Pastor, can you help me understand this? Look at it in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Do you? Matthew chapter 5 says, do you think that I came to destroy the law of the prophets? I did not come to destroy but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let me ask you, when will all be fulfilled? When will all be fulfilled? What he's talking about is not the Ten Commandments. He's talking about what was written in the law about him. All of them will be what? He said there's nothing written there that will not be fulfilled. The reason was the same was because they were telling him and saying, who gave you authority? By whose authority do you do this? Who are you? So he was trying to tell them, I'm the one that the scriptures, the law, the Moses and the prophets wrote about, that everything written about me under that law dispensation, all of them will be what? Fulfilled. Are you still awake?
Yes.
If you are awake, say amen.
Amen.
So he now said to them in verse 19, you people talking to me. Now the Pharisees, he began to address them. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so, shall be called this in the what? Kingdom of heaven. Where whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Remember, at this time, the church had not started. Jesus had not gone to the cross. Now, what is he talking to them about here? Remember that these Pharisees who are asking him, by what authority do you do this? Who do you think you are? We know that Moses God spoke to him. But you, who spoke to him, why did you come from? These people were teaching people traditions of men. They were trusting God and teaching the traditions of men. They were teaching in place of the word of God. They were teaching people their own Concussion. And Jesus said to them, you people that claim to know the law. He said, when you teach people, you don't teach the laws of God. You teach them your own opinion. And you teach them the traditions of what? Man. He said, by doing that, you are not important in the kingdom. You are least. Because you know he called them hypocrites. He said, you are hypocrites. Because everything they are doing is not about God. Everything they are doing was about themselves. So he was telling them, he said, you teach, what you teach is, remember what he told them, he said, you teach about washing of this, washing of this, washing of that, and then you teach people whatever you give your father and mother is stubborn. So that way you make them not honor their father and their mother. They were doing all manner of sorts of things, washing of leg, washing of this. That's what he was telling them. So he now turned to the crowd and made a profound statement there in verse 20. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds what? The righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter. What is he talking about? This is the righteousness of the law that Paul said, I don't want again. He was telling them that I brought a better righteousness. Can somebody say amen to that? I brought the better righteousness. If you want to enter the heaven, you must have the righteousness that comes by faith. That is a far better righteousness than the righteousness of the Pharisees, which Paul had. That was what Paul said. He said, I don't want my own righteousness that comes from the law. I now want the righteousness that comes by faith in who? Christ. That's what was introducing there. You get know what I'm trying to say? If you get me, say amen.
Amen.
If you get me, say amen.
Amen.
So let's get back to what we were talking about. Now, Jesus made some other statements about knowing him. He said in John 5:39, if you are happy and you know, you say amen.
Amen.
I'm counting the people sleep. Once I got five, I was sick. I told you, you eat all the same food, you call me in the night, I sleep. If you do that next time, I will defeat you for your life. John 5:39. He said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. He said, the scriptures will teach you about me. Why? And you will not come to me that you may have life. Submit. He said, the reason you study the Bible, that studying the Bible in itself will not give you life. He said, studying the Bible should reveal me to you. I want you to listen. Studying the Bible should reveal me to what? To you. Because it is in me that life is. What he's telling them is that studying the Bible should make me real. Let me tell you something. If Jesus is not real to you, you won't have faith in him. Your faith will be machined. Remember in the church, they played something to us. There are this Muslim woman that saw Jesus. How many of you had it? She saw Jesus. After she saw Jesus, and Jesus became real. All the persecution that came, there was one thing he said, I what?
I saw.
What for? Every time Paul will be in serious, severe trouble, he will begin to tell his story. I was on my way to Damascus and I saw him. He's real. Let me tell us something. If Jesus is not real to you, your Christianity will be weak. The Bible is not supposed to give you just information. It is supposed to make the Son of God tangible, real, so that you can say, I know in whom I am. He said, you study the Bible. You do a lot of studying, study. You think by studying it you have life. He said, no. He reveals me to you so that I become real. The Bible says, he that cometh to God must first of all believe that he is. I said this some Sundays ago, that the problem with the church is that we don't believe that Jesus is real. I don't know if you remember the story I told you about one evangelist, very popular evangelist, I keep forgetting his name, that went to India to preach. and the most challenging. Theological. He went in there to preach. Now, if you do think that somebody who sacrificed this much to go to preach in a far place, that has said that Christ is strong. Zeal is not really spirituality. So he went to India to preach, and the Muslim said, prove to us that our bad book is not the correct one. The Quran is not right. Show us that your Jesus is what you're talking about. Do you know he couldn't? So he came back to America. This is his story. He was crying. He went into the room, locked himself in, and was crying. He said, Lord, I couldn't prove who you are. They challenged me, I had no answer. I let their shame. I could not represent you well. The man was, see, he was there, I don't know how long. All of a sudden, listen to me. Please listen. All of a sudden, the Lord walked in and stood before him. Jesus didn't say one word. He just walked in and stood before him. You know what he said? Hey, he's real! This is the man that went in. Jesus knew his problem was he didn't believe in him. You can make it make class to this. He said, hey, he is what? Tap your neighbor and say he's real. No, I didn't hear you tap him and say he's real. He said, hey, he is real. So he's like, wow. The next day he got up and said, I'm going back to India. He went back to India. Then some people came again. He said, prove to us. You are back. If our Quran is what we know, and is the one book of God and everything, if Jesus is God, prove to us. You know what he did? He said, bring all your blind people here. Oh. So they went to town and brought blind people and lame people. Listen, brethren, the difference between faith and presumption. Now he kept with faith. Now Jesus is real. Can somebody shout hallelujah? That's what Jesus was telling them. He said, he's telling this scripture, he thinks that's right. No, 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 you should make me real to you so that you know that I'm real, that I exist, that I'm who I am. Yeah. This man said, bring the Bible, bring all of them. They went and brought them, they were laughing. He said, in Jesus' name, everywhere I be, open in Jesus' name, the rest of them open. Bam, 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 bam. The Muslims started running to give their life to Christ. That's how the Muslim ministry began to grow. Before then, he went to preach. You packed up, sold everything, traveled far. If you see him now, you will think, man, he didn't believe in Jesus. But when he was challenged, his faith couldn't show. I want to be careful. Let me tell you, a lot of our lives do not reflect faith in Christ. We have a lot of issues swept under the water. That's not the way God wants us. I said to the Lord, I said, when I come to this room and I pray this word, I want you to confirm it with Santa. He said to me, if they listen to me, they will have enough faith to do Santa work. You don't listen. If Jesus is real to you, you can't fear witches. No, you can't. And all this boiling, fighting, pretending we do all this gossiping things, this lies of people who don't know Christ. Because those who know their God, they shall what? Oh, and they do. Yes. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's why knowing Christ is key. It's key. And that's what the devil doesn't want us to know. He doesn't want Jesus to be real. He doesn't want him to be real to us. He doesn't want to be real. He wants us to have this fuzzy thing. I was a half faith. You know, I'm a pastor. I talk to people. When they said I have faith, you want to prove to find where that faith is. You can't find it. And You don't. They can't even be complete in us. Some don't even know the first things about it. I was talking to a group of pastors, and they were asking me some questions, and they began to talk about prayer and faith. And they began to talk about faith. Believe in me, they knew nothing about faith. But I couldn't correct them, because they were so far. Sometimes my wife asks me some things about some news. I don't know what to start telling her. Because the news, if I start telling her, it will take me 1 week to finish the background of the news before I now come to what I'm hearing now. So I don't know what to start. Because the thing you're hearing now has the things that happened before. Oh, if we understand that Christianity is not religion. Christianity is real life or power. It's an extraordinary life. It's an exciting life. It's a life of wonders. Can I hear anything?
Amen.
But Christ has to be real, because he's the focus of Christianity. He said, you read the scriptures, you study these things, you do all the Bible studies, you do. He said, no, supposed to make me real. So you come to me. I'm a person. You know, I was talking to my cousin in Canada. He said, uncle, he said, I lost the Lord. He said, I used to talk with the Lord. He used to wake me up. He said, do you know how intimate I was with him? Down to the clothes I would wear. I'll ask him which one you want to be. He said, we should talk on the street, talk everywhere. He said, the accident I had, he warned me. He told me, don't live in that place. I said, Lord, I should live there. That's where all the girls are living. And the Lord said, no, don't live there. Come out. He said, after he warned me, 2 days he warned me, the third day, that place was engulfed in fire. Everybody was killed except the Lord. He said, he warned me. When he becomes real to you, when he becomes real to you, the fellowship of his spirit becomes real. Because that's when faith comes. When people are confused, you can't wake up and you're not sure about what's going on. When you have the spirit of Christ that says, I will show you things to come. They are showing you nothing. They are looking for prophets. And those prophets will take your money anyway. Sometimes people come to me, they are waiting for me to see vision. All I see is them. I want to tell you something. Between you and your problem is your doubt. The day you change that doubt to faith, it's time you see the power. The power of God follows faith. I keep saying it follows faith. You don't have to make it happen. It's natural. Simply follows faith. But how can you have faith when you have not come to believe that it is? How can? You see, this kind of confidence is not something they'll be announcing to you. It is something that he'll be talking to you about. So, I went to preach in California. One sister came to me. He said, Pastor, wow. He said, wow. He said, you know, I had, some of you who do book me. So she had booked me. So she booked for extra days. And he said, the Lord told me, he said, you better go and listen to that man. I'm sending you. He said, really? He said, I'm reading here. You better go and listen to me. So he said, I counsel. And when you began to teach, you are testing my book. He said, it was better I sat there than I went to that one. When I came, you people were not ready. I went to my wife's room. And that was good. I was feeling it. If you tell people what I said. So I sat there. You know the kind of things I think about. I said to the Lord, why? You should tell me when they are ready. They don't have to come and come. It's the kind of things I said, Lord, they don't have to come and come. You should tell me. So that we go. It's a life that finishes. And say, what are you doing? So that I enjoy that moment. I haven't said it to you in some of the past moment. You can see why the knowledge of Christ is primary. You can see the key thing that it is. It makes Christ real, and in Christ being real, God becomes real. Then he said, even if I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall walk. Wow! He is real to me. He is real. He is real. He, my God, is real. So I shall fear no evil, because thou art me. You are real. I know you. You are here. Paul said he is real. Everybody left me, but he stood with me. He is real. He is real. What people do don't concern me. He's real. He's there with me. I don't bother about what people say, what they do. No, no, no. He is real. I'm focused on him. I know in whom I have believed. He's a person. He's a person. He's real. And Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Who is the truth? If I'm not the devil, but if I'm him, I will stop you from doing that. Because if I stop you from doing that, you'll be walking on this perpetual. But it starts first in the heart before it comes to the devil. Because out of the heart comes all the issues of life. There's a woman here, and she says, God, what is happening to me is what is happening. God says, I'm cleaning your teeth. Amen. You're on this side of this. I'm cleaning her teeth. You shall know the truth. And the truth shall what? Now, if I stop you from doing the truth, how do you walk through? I've said it before, even if somebody prays for you, and even as if somebody prays for you, and you're okay, if you don't know the truth, you are going to walk back into that body. Because the devil will come back time and again. Jesus said, when they go, they usually what? Come back. They usually. And the bottom line is that nobody can really help you. You've got to learn to help yourself. You must learn to know the truth. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I said, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Come on, I said, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And then let me even tell you now, find the right power with that people. I reserve you for the last. You know, Paul had a very major concern for the church. Very serious concern. And if you have such a eyes, you will see that the same thing is still happening today. His main concern was that Christians were immature. They were immature. He was heartbroken because he knew that if he left, that Christians had not grown enough to be able to stand what the devil wanted to do. That they had not grown to be able to resist him. He knew they were babies. In all these churches, it was a bother to him. It was a serious issue for him. And he knew they couldn't do the work of Christ unless they were mature. He knew that. He wrote Acts chapter 20:29. Look at this concern here. For I know this. For I know this. What do I know? That after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverted, that is happening today, to draw away disciples after themselves. Is it happening today? I'm asking you, you today. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn you everyone night and day with tears. It bothered me that you are not prepared for this thing. You are not grown. You are babies. He said with tears. But now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. He's still talking about Jesus Christ. The word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them, which has been preceded. I want to commend you to the word of God, which will build you to maturity so you'll be able to stand with them coming. And I'm warning you people with tears. Because the devil will shrink your life. He wrote to the Hebrew church, Hebrew 5:12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. He's talking to the church of the Hebrews. So you people are babes. They are not mature. It was a concern. And Peter too, as newborn babes, this is what the prophet Peter writes, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the world that you may grow. Peter says you should desire the pure milk of the world so you grow. Your babies. And now the very church. I don't know what your problem is, but God said that gave me your tears.
Amen.
And now, look at the Corinthian church in good that way. Look at what that church. First Corinthians 7. And I pray, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have filled you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife, hello, envy and what? Do you find it in the church?
Yes.
Let's talk. Gossip. Selfishness. Bozology. You know what I call bozology? Pretending to be better than that. Acting spiritual. Mannerism is not spiritual. Acting spiritual. Pretending to be ivory leather. It's not certain. Let me tell you something. Anything that's not of the spirit is for something. Anything that's not of God is just for something. If you add the packaging in your life and act, you just for your life. Once it's not of God, you cannot overcome the world. You just a waste of time. The flesh profits what? You just, and moreover, people pretty soon realize that you're just a fake. And you're just running through the window. If you start talking, they say, who is that? They say, so, it's a line that type of question. I want to know how we can be effective in this Christian. Look at what you see. For you are yet kind. For what I said among you, envy, strife, Division. You won't come to somebody is doing service or something, you won't come because it's not in your small group. What kind of small group you join that is even stopping you from going? You go there. Oh. All you do is gossip. You say, well, I'm being foolish, you are doing fellowship now. You do fellowship with another spirit. We are different from you. Yeah. Yeah, we are from you. This is my uniform. And then somebody who doesn't wear for you, you won't attend them. That's plain carnality. That's immature. That's not Christianity at all. That's what they do in people's club. Exactly what they do in people's club. The Bible calls a party spirit. It's so much among this. Let me tell you, if you're a pastor, sometimes you want to cry. You see these people who come to church, they are so bent, so you don't even know what to do. And yet you say that we are sisters in Christ. Do you know what Christianity means? When you understand what Christianity means, you stop that nonsense. Because we share the same spirit. I'm a member of it together. Let me show you my daughter. If my daughter comes and takes my straight daughter, takes my and copies her, what will happen? This is a Christian who is part of the member of Christ. You are also part of the member of Christ. And you take knife and you cut it. Isn't it yourself your cut? Don't you understand that that thing will harm you? Don't you understand? You have no understanding the thing will touch you. The Bible says, don't you understand that that thing you're doing will touch you? You are cutting your own body. That's why the Bible says the man that loves his wife loves his own body. Because they are joined to them. When you come, whether there's a man with beauty, strife, division, you know, can walk as mere human beings, mere men. See why the man's heart was broken. He said, I'm only in tears. You're not crying. This level of Christianity is so low. It's totally unproductive. Seriously unproductive for you and for the people you bring in front of. For while one says, I'm a fool, say, Paul, carry a mind. The other one says, no, Paul, carry a mind. Nobody has that kind of stuff. I've told you, I read it on Wednesday, Acts chapter 20, verse 11. The Bible says, God did. It was God that did miracles through the hand of God. Every miracle is done by God, not by me. Can I hear amen? So this is the kind of church that Corinthian church became. Now, let me remind you about this church so you know why you know that. These people went to court with one another. Suing one another was common. And then when they got for Holy Communion, they got it on. And if they want to give prophecy, they find the Bible will be first. So I came to this church before, you can't be before. And the one I came before. And there was so much immorality among them. The Paul said, not even among the heathen, the father. That even one of them was sleeping with the father's wife. And listen to me, they didn't condemn me. Paul said, instead of mourning, you are laughing. It was okay for you. This is the church I'm talking about. The soul that is. And Paul knew that the only thing that will bring them to maturity is the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Can I hear it?
Amen.
Look at it in Ephesians 4:11. Huh? So you see why he wrote that thing he wrote to them about when I come among you. This is the only thing you need. That's the only thing I'm bringing. Ephesians 4. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up what? The church. Is it building lives or building the which building the church? What does it mean? Building those people to grow. And build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue. Pastor Phil will tell you how to do that. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and in knowledge. Everybody say knowledge.
Knowledge.
Some of you are saying. Everybody say knowledge.
Knowledge.
Knowledge of what? Of God's Son. That we will be mature. Where? In the Lord. Oh, I'm reading another translation. Okay, we need New Living Translation. That's it. I mean, New Kingdoms. Till we come to the unity of faith, which means all of us begin to believe the same thing. Unity of our faith in Christ, we believe the same thing. And in our faith, and knowledge of what? Gospel. That we will be what? Mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. He said, this is what brings you to maturity, the knowledge of Christ, that when we begin to have accurate knowledge of Jesus, that all of us have unity of faith, that what we believe is the same thing, the same accurate knowledge of Jesus, that knowledge will build us up to maturity in Him. So when He says this bunch of kind of people, He said to them, I'm coming. But when I come, I'll bring you one thing. I don't have to do anything because you need one thing that will make you go out of time. I'm bringing the knowledge of Christ. You see why he wrote that thing to them? I don't know if you follow my person. Are you following my person?
Yeah.
He said to them, when I come, let's read that thing again. Let's read that in your text, the first one. Let's read 1 Corinthians 2. Now remember they are so carnal and doing all of this. And Paul said to them, I'm coming. For I resolved. That's why he resolved that. For I decided that while I was with you, I will forget everything except what? Christ and the one who was crucified. Can we amplify? If you have amplified. For I resolved to know nothing, to be acquainted with nothing, to make a display of the knowledge of nothing, and to be conscious of nothing among you except Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and Him crucified. Why? Because it is the knowledge of the Son of God that will bring them to maturity in Christ and the ground of carnality. Nothing else will bring them out of that. All that immorality, all that going to court, all that disorderliness, all that life of carnality, He knew that was the only solution to that is to bring them into the knowledge of Christ. Because in Him is life. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
So that was why he said, if I come, there is nothing else to discuss. I want to bring you the knowledge that will make you grow and prepare you so that I can leave you the way you are. Because grievous woes are coming. You need to be prepared to face this thing and carry this forward. And he himself talked about himself. He said, my passion is to know Christ. I want to what? Know Him. Somebody here should also be saying, I want to know Him. Can I hear
amen?
So you see why he wrote that thing today? Because that's the message. That's what the enemy doesn't want us to teach people. He doesn't want us to bring the knowledge of Christ to the church so that he keeps the church calm. But blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what we're going to be doing.
Amen.
You must know Him. And Him crucified. So He becomes real to you. When He becomes real to you, your fellowship with Him will come. So that when you are doing something like this, you don't need an announcement. I don't know how to give off. I don't need an announcement for off. I talk with Him about off. I don't know how you do stuff, but that's why I live my life. I talk with Him about so many things. There was something that I was talking, praying about. You know, I was thinking about it. I slept. I was praying. In the morning, I woke up with, and he said, why don't you ask me to do so? I said, yeah, that's true. He said, you didn't ask me. You have not because you asked me. He said, if you ask me, I will adjust that to that. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Is it real to you? Is it Jesus? That's what I'm talking about. that passion. If you find anybody who serves outside the will of God, watch their life. Watch their life. It's never known. He says, David served after me. And watch David. Paul was after me in Christ. Watch Paul. He was an extraordinary apostle. Watch him. Watch any Christian who is after me in Christ. I want you to watch them. See how they love him. They will go from glory to glory, from glory to glory. My prayer tonight is that you will understand the importance of knowing Christ. That you will focus your effort to the one thing that will make us mature and equip us for the work of the ministry. And that is the knowledge of the Son of God. Thank you. God bless you. Be thou exalted, O Lord above all heavens. Be thou exalted, O Lord above all heavens. Let thy glory be across all the earth. Let thy glory be exalted, O Lord, above all heavens. Hallelujah, exalted, O Lord, above all heavens. O Lord, let your glory be above.